Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 304, and today a slightly longer title than usual, so bear with me. It is Preaching and Teaching as Catalysts for Building a Vibrant Learning Community. Preaching and Teaching as Catalysts for Building a Vibrant Learning Community. So what's all that about? Well, don't you and I want a learning community? We don't want church to be a place where people like me just turn up to teach facts and stuff. And we don't want our congregations to be places where people just sit there and absorb just facts and stuff passively. We need to be a learning community. Isn't that what we see in Acts chapter 2 as they're all gathered around the apostles learning together? Isn't that what we see with Jesus in the temple where he's learning together with the people there? And from what we can make out of the early church, it was very much a learning community. Congregations today, situations today, especially for those of us where we are privileged to preach and teach, we need to be the kind of people who are catalyzing other people's learning and the learning of the community. How does that happen? Well, I had something happen this last Sunday that might be useful to you if you want to build a vibrant learning community. Let me share with you what happened. So we've just finished 1 Thessalonians, preaching and teaching through it in the Watford Church of Christ, January, February, March 2023. And this last Sunday was the summary lesson and discussion about what we've been learning. And before I shared my thoughts of the big points for me, at least from the book of 1 Thessalonians, I asked the congregation, what has God been teaching you? What has God been teaching us? What, over the last 3 months, has God helped you to understand? What's inspired you? What's challenged you? What's changed you from looking into 1 Thessalonians? And we took some time to hear from various members of the congregation who just spoke from wherever they were sitting to share with us all what they've been learning so that we are learning together. Because I hope people learn from what I say. But I learn from what other people say, and we learn from each other as we hear each other share what we have been learning. And it made me think about the fact that I really need to want to know, what people are thinking, what people are learning, and what questions people have. And sometimes I'm interested in that and curious, and sometimes I'm not, because perhaps I have my own agenda. I've got my things I want to get across, the things I trust God has put on my heart. But what about what everybody else is thinking? And you think about Jesus and how he was with people. He was somebody who was also not only able and willing and active in teaching, but he was someone curious about what other people were thinking and the questions that they had. And so, as introduction here, before we get into some practical points, a preacher or a teacher is tasked with creating a learning community, not simply preaching and teaching what they know. You and I, if you're a preacher or a teacher, you're tasked with helping to create a learning community. You and I are meant to be catalysts and using preaching and teaching as catalysts to help a learning community develop and for it to be vibrant. How do we do this? Well, let me share, what have I got here? 4 points, 4 ideas that you can mull over and let me know what you think. And we did this on Sunday. So first of all, the first part of it is, as part of your lessons, whenever appropriate, ask questions. Ask questions. Like in Matthew chapter 16, we see Jesus doing this, don't we? In verses 13 to 16, he asks the question, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they give some replies, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, the prophets. And then verse 15, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter gives the classic reply that we all know, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's the catalyst. The questions are the catalyst for crystallization of Peter's learning, of what he's been learning and understanding, and consequently not just for Peter, but the other disciples as well. Questions are vital. Part of teaching is asking questions. How do you feel about asking questions of your congregation when you preach and teach? Are there any barriers to you asking questions? I'd like to know what you think. First thing, asking questions. The second thing is to allow for silence. To allow for silence. And when I asked the congregation on Sunday, what has God been teaching you? There was quite a long silence. Now, silence is one of those things that it probably wasn't very long. It might have been 20 seconds, 30 seconds, even maybe a minute. I don't know. But it felt much longer than that. And I gave the congregation 3 minutes to think before I actually asked them to share. But even after asking them to think and to have a quick glance back at 1 Thessalonians to remind them, nonetheless, there were some moments of silence. And silence can feel quite uncomfortable for the person leading the session, but it also can feel quite uncomfortable for the people just sitting there. Everybody's, you know, it's quiet in here and we're not used to this. It's just silence, isn't it? And Jesus in Mark chapter 3, verse 4, asked the question, what's lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? It says the people listening to him remained silent, and Jesus did not immediately fill that silence. That silence was the opportunity for thinking and conviction and clarity and understanding to develop. Allow silence. You know, silence in our church services is not always bad. A friend of mine came to church many, many years ago and he says, "You don't seem to like silence, do you? Because our whole service was so noisy the whole way through." We need to allow silence in our teaching and preaching. People need time to think and process what they might want to share. And by ourselves remaining silent and allowing others to think and then to speak, we create space for our congregations to express themselves fully, to feel heard and understood. And silence is a large part of that. And people will become convinced that we want to hear from them when we allow for silence. If we just say, "Hey, what does everybody think?" Nobody, "Okay, let me tell you what I think." We're not demonstrating that we really want to hear from them. We have to allow for the silence so that people will be convinced that we really want to hear from them. So secondly, silence. Thirdly, when people do share, respond positively. Respond positively to every single person who shares. You may be used to public speaking now, but we have to bear in mind that for most people, sharing anything in public is a terrifying ordeal. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it just is. It takes courage for anybody in the congregation to speak up, younger or older Christian, whatever, and we need to honor that. Respond positively. In other words, don't let just someone share something and then pass on to the next person without a comment. You don't have to say, "That's the most wonderful sharing and most incredible insight I've ever heard." Don't be flattering. And don't respond to every comment by "That's amazing." Again, that just means nothing's amazing when everything's amazing. But at least respond positively. I did say to one of the chaps who shared on Sunday, "That's a really interesting insight. I'd never thought of that," because that's true. I thought it was really interesting and I had not thought of that point. Other people, I didn't say that. I just said, "Thank you very much," or "That's a good point," or something like that. But respond positively and acknowledge every single comment. That's the third thing. Fourthly, expand on people's sharing where it's helpful, but do it briefly. Give a short response. Public speaking is a conversation, really, in many ways, and with our audience. And so, therefore, if you're asking a question, someone's responding, it's appropriate for you to say, "That's an interesting point. It reminds me of." Maybe it reminds you of another point or a scripture or an example from the Bible. That's okay, but make it brief. I have seen, and I'm sure I've done this too, but I have seen it where the speaker asks a question, someone gives a response, and then the speaker gives a lengthy response, far out of proportion to the response from the person from the congregation. And what that does is it tends to shut other people down because they're like, "Oh, you're not actually that interested in what I have to say. You're interested in me giving you an opportunity to share more, a lot more of what you know." And therefore, again, it's not really a conversation. It's not really a collaborative experience. So four things for you to consider. Firstly, ask questions. Secondly, allow for silence. Thirdly, respond positively. And fourthly, expand where helpful, but not. You don't have to respond to every comment, by the way, in any at any length. But whatever you do expand on, do so briefly so that we get more responses from other people in the congregation. So let me wrap up. One other thing, there's a sub point, but perhaps even maybe an overarching point to all of this, is that we can do these techniques, and that's fine. But in the end, it's our disposition, which is the most important aspect of this. In other words, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what the congregation think, or are you using that to get your points across? And I hope you want to get your points across, as I do, even in this video, but are you really interested? Your disposition, your humility, your desire, your curiosity is more important than anything else. Perhaps you could ask yourself this question when you next go to an event where you're preaching or teaching. Did you go to learn today? Did you go to learn or did you just go to teach? And I try to take this disposition with me when I go to my congregation on a Sunday morning is I'm going to learn. I'm going to worship with everybody, but I'm also going to learn. I want to hear what people have to say. Not every lesson fits some of these things we talked about today. That's okay. Not every context is the same. But nonetheless, when there's an opportunity, I really want to learn. And my experience over the years is I have learned so much listening to the responses of people from the congregation when we ask questions, allow for silence, and affirm people's responses, and respond, if necessary, briefly. Is that something you do in your congregation, in your preaching and teaching? If not, why not try it? See what happens. Let me know. I'd be very interested. If you do do it regularly, what do you find helps the congregation to engage as to actually answer, feel confident about answering, and hopefully not just one or two regulars who always answer, but spreading it around the whole congregation? What helps with that? I'd be interested to know what your experience is of that. So you can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording, so please do so. If you haven't already done so, why not sign up for the subscription? Subscribe to this channel and hit the notification button, and you'll get notification of the next lessons when they come out, and I'd love to hear that. And if you want to do so, then please do sign up for my newsletter at the website, malcolmcox.org, and you'll get a free book on spiritual disciplines that I've written, a little ebook on that too. And if you'd like to deepen your biblical knowledge even further, please join us with the AIM UK and Ireland teaching series, which you'll find all the information on the AIM website, which is aimukandireland.com, aimukandireland.com. We'd love if you could join us for those teaching opportunities. Let me know what you think about this. I think what I have shared today can help us with our preaching and teaching to be catalysts for building a vibrant learning community. That is so important for the health of our congregations and for the long-term stability of all that we do in our churches. Until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care. God bless.